Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk about personal expenses and tower videos. Well, the tower videos, if you want to see those first, which I'll cover those first here, they're pretty cool actually. John Hedish puts out a lot of videos on tower climbing, and so does Hankel and McCoy, and they just do a lot of climbing videos. John Hedish has some great videos. I mean, his are actually, like, very specific. So Hankel's McCoy basically are putting in a Celeray that I see. It's really cool photography if you get to see it. And John puts out, I mean, he's got a lot of good stuff. A studio link installation, which it's a broadcast link, which is a little different. You know, they use those grid dishes, not necessarily regular dishes. And then he does installing a DB420, which is like a 35-pound, 8-foot antenna. He puts it in the top of a tower. I actually did a lot of that stuff for, like, public safety. It's sort of cool. And then here's one of my favorites. He removes a 900-pound, 12-foot microwave dish. And the reason I like it, because you get to see how they tag it, all the rigging, everything you do. You know, you scroll down there. He does measurements on a tower. I threw that in because so many of you probably do that. You know, you probably have to do tape measurements. And you take photos or close out packages, things like that. And then he shows a microwave dish alignment. I showed that just to give people an idea what's involved in a microwave dish alignment. It seems that most people don't really understand what's involved in that if they haven't done it. It's tedious because you're going left, right, up, down. You can't always see the tower in the distance. You know, it'd be great if you could, but what we used to do, you know, we had the GPS. And this is great. You can see it. He's in a field. You could walk it. If you're in the city, it's hard because you just don't have the room to move around unless you're in a parking lot. But if you're in a confined area and you can't walk, it's harder because I know, I'll just go into it. When you have a compass, you have a lot of steel around. Compass is a magnetic device, so you really want to get as far away from the steel. Well, you know, most towers are steel, right? And they have fences around them. They have a shelter in them. A lot of RF, well, the RF really, I don't think, plays into it because it's higher up. But the compass, you know, it's just really hard to get an accurate reading on a compass. Now, time of year, the sun, if you have everything in your favor, you can really go by that. And you can actually see what direction you want to point in. So you can, with the sun, you can get your bearing. If you can see the tower in the distance, well, life's good because then you can align it. However, with that said, I know so many people, and I'm talking a lot of people, that spot the wrong tower. Tower spotting is not easy. I've done tower spotting. Everyone thinks they know the tower in the distance. And when I've done tower spotting, I've done it from both sides. I've looked at what the tower looks like. And I used to use a telescope, binoculars. They have really strong binoculars. I never had them. I just used to use a telescope. So I'd go up in the tower, set myself up. You know, I would actually this is what I would do. I would actually go up and then try to sit down and prop my knees up to put the telescope on my knees. I just felt like that way I was stable. Whereas when you put it on the tower, if you have something nice to rest on, that's great. You know, depends on the tower, obviously. But a lot of times, you know, you just didn't have the best thing to anchor to on a tower. But, you know, there's different ways to do it. Everyone has their own way to do it. But, yeah, tower spotting, you know, I've done installs where they spotted the wrong tower. And then when you walk it with a GPS and you get the line of sight, you realize they spotted off. They could be off by 2 or 3 degrees. And I learned that with experience. I'm not saying I've never done it. You got to look at a map. You got to see what other towers are there. Google Earth is amazing. Changed the industry because now you can get close up. You can actually see the towers from Google Earth. I mean, it's just really amazing. Those satellite views are incredible. All right. Well, getting back to the business at hand here, what I wanted to talk today about was the expenses. Now, the reason I thought about this, I wanted to do something on this anyway, and I know a lot of you are going to get mad, so I went over the videos. If you don't want to hear me talk about expenses, you can shut off the podcast now. But I was talking to a guy the other day who he's managing his expenses for his son, or with his son. His son's on the road. His son lives with his parents. He's a younger fella. And this guy's basically helping his son out. And I thought it was really impressive what he was doing. I'm not going to go into it or say who it was, but let's face it. If you can get help from your parents, maybe learn from their mistakes, I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to help, you know, he's obviously trying to help his son out and save some money and just not waste all the money. And that's what I wanted to talk about, because when you're on the road, you have a per diem. Normally you have a per diem. I don't think anyone lets you expense meals anymore. And I could be wrong. If I am, hey, great. But when you have a per diem, you have to budget your per diem, and you don't want to spend more than your per diem. And I see all the jokes out there where everyone says per diem's just beer money, and that's fine. And when you're younger, that may be, but let's face it. The reality is per diem should be used for food. I could care less what the company says, but think about yourself, your body, your work. You need to eat. Now, there are a lot of guys that I see that, and this is cool. I didn't put this in the blog, but I see a lot of guys that take the grills out with them, like a hibachi. I don't know if you know what that is, but in my day, hibachis were cool. They're these little tiny grills. You take them out and they grill on site and they just eat good food on site. I've seen a lot of guys do that, you know, and a lot of guys pack their lunch and so on. And some of the guys are trying to save as much of the per diem as possible. Per diem isn't always fair, but let's face it, that's what you got to work with, okay? So what you're going to do with your per diem is space out your meals and try to eat good food. If you're like me, I ate a lot of fast food just because it's convenient. And I'll give you an example. Like when I would work in Ocean City, Maryland, in, say, January, February, almost everything's closed because people leave. It's a tourist attraction. The only thing that I remember being open, like in February especially, that was one of the worst months, were like fast food places and local diners. A lot of times you don't have a lot of time, so you go into like a McDonald's. And let me tell you something, I'm not a fan of McDonald's food, not anymore, but you know, it's open, it's food, you gotta eat, right? At least I do. I gotta eat. I eat a lot through the day. So I get it. You know, I'm not a fan of fast food, but it's convenient. It's there. And if you're like me, a lot of times on a Friday night, you're hungry, you get a meal, you just eat in a truck. I ate so many meals in the truck. In my case, I like Taco Bell. A lot of guys hate Taco Bell for some reason. It was easy. Yeah, I could eat it in the road. You know, it wasn't too messy if the burrito didn't explode or something. But I could eat it while I was driving, something you're not supposed to do, but let's face it, I did it a lot. I'm just telling you what I did. So first off, a lot of you guys are probably angry I'm talking about expenses. I'm not telling you how to spend your money. I'm not telling you how to save your money. You know, you do what you want. You get per diem, you got your paycheck. If you're a young man, you might still be living, or a young woman. If you're a young person, you may still be living with your parents, which is fine because you're going to save a lot of money that way. And if you have good parents, maybe they'll tell you how to save your money and budget your money. And if you don't want to hear this, like I said, shut it off. I'm just going to tell you what I learned from my experience. So the only reason I'm telling you this is because in 10 years, if you're flat broke because of poor habits, I don't want to hear about it. Here's what I do want to hear. I want to hear about how you saved the money up, how you could buy that nice vehicle you wanted, whatever it is, a truck, a car, whatever. How you could buy, you know, nice whatever, how you could afford a house and things like that. That's what I'd like to hear. But if you're broke in 10 years because you have poor habits and you're bitter at the world, and trust me, guys, I talk to a lot of people, a lot of bitterness out there. And it's not fair, it's not nice, but it's reality. So I just don't want to hear you whining about it if it's your own fault. And that's hard for many people to accept. It's their own fault. Listen, I don't have the best spending habits. It was my fault in a lot of ways. Now, with that said, you know, when I went through a divorce and paid child support, you have no choice but to curb your habits immediately because your priorities change. You know, I had a mortgage, I had child support, and so on. Probably like a lot of you guys understand that. If you're younger, hopefully you don't. I hope you never get divorced. I hope you marry somebody and you're happy and so on. So when you start making some money, take the time to think about what you're going to do with it, okay? You might not do this at first because you're making money, you know, you're having a good time, whatever. But the other thing is a per diem. If you spend more than your per diem, let's say, you know, you go out, you have a meal and you spend it all on beer or whatever, The minute you reach your max on per diem, the money's coming out of your pocket. If you're okay with that, that's fine. But the reality is, you should try to budget your meals around your per diem. You really should. Your expenses around your per diem. Most of the time, the hotel's expensed, you know, but the per diem is mostly for meals. Everyone's different. I'm just saying what I know, what I've seen. I've seen where we could expense hotels, but we had per diem for meals and so on. And some companies just give you a max limit you can spend on meals, and you expense it. I've been with companies like that too. Now, with those companies, you know, obviously you can't use any of that money for alcohol, let's say. So what I would recommend is if you do get per diem, make a budget, figure out where you can eat and what you can eat. I'm not saying you have to eat within the means every night, but look at it as a week. You know, maybe eat cheap, you know, get pizza or something, split it with a few buddies two or three nights a week. Then you go out for a nice meal one or two nights a week if you're out all week. Sorry, excuse me. So just plan it out by the week. You don't have to plan it out by the day. Plan it out by the week. If you want to go out and have a couple beers with your buddies, plan it out by the week so you don't blow all your personal money on that. And I'm not saying you should drink and drive. Certainly don't drink and drive, but I'm just saying plan things out with your expenses. So, because when you need money, it's one of those things where you need money like right then. You don't have a month to save it up. Now, if you're planning on buying something, you have the time. You know, it's a lot like losing weight. Everyone looks in the mirror and like, man, I got dropped 20 pounds. You want to do it right away. The reality is, you have to diet, you have to exercise, whatever you want to do to lose weight. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Your money is the same way. You have to think about your money wisely. You have to think about, I'm not saying make a budget for every little thing, but I'm saying just put money aside, save it, whatever. You know, I'm saying if you want to buy something, put an account there, think about your savings, and then think about how much it's going to drain you. Personally, I think if you can spend less than your per diem, you'll have a slight edge over most people. And I've seen guys do this. It was sort of funny, but I knew this one guy. He would make his per diem last. He would try to make as much money off his per diem as possible. He always took per diem. And on Monday, depends on what hotel room he had, but he'd try to get a hotel room with a fridge. So on Monday, he'd get a full pizza. And he'd eat like two or three slices, put the rest in the fridge. The next night, he'd get it out, heat it up, eat the next two or three slices. So he was real smart with his money. And he always, like when he would go out to eat, he still had one nice meal a week. You know, he planned it out very well. He was pretty smart with his money. I got to give the guy credit. Better than us, you know, we were going out to eat every night. But he was trying to save as much of that per diem money as he could because he understood that was above and beyond what he's making. With that said, he didn't skimp on meals. He still ate. He just ate wisely. He planned his meals out, and he looked at the per diem as a weekly per diem. He didn't look at it as one night. He looked at it as a week. He still went out for that one nice meal a week, and he would, you know, budget his money, you know, with a pizza or whatever. He'd get something that he could eat all week, or else he would go to the grocery store and buy stuff and save it. And we did that a lot of times, too, you know. I've been on long jobs where we'd rent apartments. When you're in an apartment, you know, you fill the fridge, you know, you buy food. You got to be smart with that too. In that case, if you're out of town for 2 months, 2 weeks or a month, then you really have to plan it out. And I got to tell you, renting an apartment or renting a house is really a good way to go if you're going to be somewhere long term. And I've done that. You know, the company would rent places like that. It's a great idea. You know, you just rent a house or you rent an apartment. You're there for long term. I'm not saying it'll be a lot cheaper than a hotel, but might be better. With that said, you know, you got to clean up after yourself. You might have a cleaning service, but come on. They don't come every day. Chances are good they don't come every day. So you got to be a little more tidy, a little clean. And you also have to, you know, you have to buy your toiletries and so on. Anyway, I'm getting off subject. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. I've been there. I blew a lot of money. I did a lot of stupid things. I'm just trying to avoid you from the heartache that I had to deal with. If you can save your money and be smart with it now, it's going to be better in the long run. When you get your paycheck, look it over. Try to figure out how to break up for each expense you have. And I don't know what expenses you have, but most people have like rent or a mortgage. A lot of people have a car payment. A lot of people have child support. And then you got the normal expenses of living. You know, a lot of people have a cable bill, electric bill, a gas bill, whatever. A water bill. You got all that. Just be smart with your money. That's all I'm saying. It really goes for any job, but when you're a climber, you're on the road a lot, and you tend to forget about the things that are going on back at home, but you still have expenses at home, and if you have kids, you know exactly what I mean. The expenses add up. It ain't cheap, so just think about that. So if you want to go out and spend all your money every night, you might want to think about what you're going to do on the weekend. If you spend all your money all weekend, you know, that's your time, your business, and maybe that's how you enjoy life. I don't have a problem with that. So, but a lot of money slips through your hands. And I say things like fast food in the blog because they all have fast food in my time. Sometimes it's all they're there. But I just see a lot of guys that blow a lot of money and the reason I bring up fast food, you blow a lot of money on fast food, then maybe an hour or two later, you're still hungry. It's just very frustrating. I don't blame you for eating, but I'm saying eat good food. If you eat something better, if you go to a better meal, you might spend a little more money. And trust me, fast food's not cheap anymore. So for a little more money, you can get a much better meal. You know, you can get real vegetables. You know, you can get real meat. You don't get a processed burger. And for lunch, it's one thing. You have time and so on. You know, you don't have an hour for, or at least we didn't. We didn't have an hour for lunch. A lot of us packed or brought subs, or else we'd send a guy on a sub run, you know, or something, you know, a food run, pizza run, whatever. But I just want you to think about it. If you spend slightly more on good food, you won't be hungry in an hour or two because you ate processed food. Trust me, it makes a difference. Even a lot of fast food, and then like 2 hours later, I'm just hungry again. The stuff goes right through me, and that's me. The other thing I bring up, if you buy tools, think about what tools you're going to use. A lot of guys buy tools for the wow factor. I've seen that a lot. If you're going to buy a big tool, think of the payback. If you're going to buy a power tool, think of the payback. Obviously, you know, it used to be like the cordless drills, cordless saws, and things like that were big tools. Now they're just standard issue. But a lot of that stuff, we had to think of the payback. But now it's just normal. And with drills, it's tough. You still need an electric drill, or if you have a compressor, which would be great on the site, you know, an air drill. But with the drills, you know, the power drills go so far, and they do a lot with power now, but sometimes, you know, you still need the electric drill or the electric saw. You know, you have the saws all and so on. It's just one of those things that you just got to think about the payback. Oh, and by the way, when you're buying a power tool, I would buy quality. You know, I like, now a lot of them are pretty good, but I bought cheap power tools, and a year later, I'm still buying more power tools. So if you buy something better the first time, and I know like our companies used to buy Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's super expensive, or I don't know how they are now, but they used to be great tools. They lasted a long time. They took a lot of abuse. So with that said, they still went bad over time, but usually they would last several years. So think about how you're going to spend your money. Think about what you have to spend back at home. And I didn't really get into the home life because I went over it a little bit, but that's up to you. So next time you're out, you have a few drinks with your buddy, just think about your budget ahead of time. I wouldn't spend all your money in one night. I've seen guys do that. On Monday night, they spend the entire week's per diem, and then it's all coming out of their pocket after that. You know, I'm just trying to get you to think it through, fellas. And if you talk to your friends, they'll understand. And if they don't, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Talk it through, fellas. I just want you to think about not only your future, but your home life and your priorities. That's all. And the last thing I bring up here, which I'll sum it all up, but if your company offers a 401k and they match it, like they do matching, what I mean by that is you put in $100, they match $100, or a percentage of your pay. That's normally what it is, 1%, 2%, 3%, 6%. A lot of companies go up to 6%. I would put in whatever they match. To me, a lot of people argue this, but to me, that's free money. If you put in 3% of your paycheck and they match 3% and throw it in a 401k for you, why not? Why not do that? Most guys are, and if you're in your 20s, it's hard to see the big picture. Trust me, now I'm seeing the big picture because, you know, I'm almost 50. So if you're going to throw in, let's say $200, and they're going to match that $200, that's $200 of free money that's going to be stashed away till you retire. And you're like, oh, that's so far away. Hey, oh, that's so far away. It's not that far away. You'll have that money there. It was free money. And if you're with that company for, say, excuse me, for 5 or 10 years, it adds up. It really adds up. Sorry, fellas, had to get a drink. So I'm just going to give you a few notes here to sum it up. And I'm going to give you some other things. try not to lend money to coworkers, at least not a lot of money. If the guy asks for $5 here, $1 here, $10 there, that's one thing. If you got a coworker coming up to you asking you for a grand, how well do you know that guy? I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of this stuff end badly. I never really lent money to anybody over like, you know, $20, $30. If someone asks for a lot of money and, you know, if you're married, I would run it by your wife. Don't just loan the money. I've helped a lot of people out, but, you know, you really got to think about that. If it's a coworker, and I've had guys that make me look bad. I've had guys skip town. They ask for money from everybody and then they skip town. And I know that sounds like something out of a movie. I've seen it. I swear to God, I've seen it. It's crazy. But I would just think about that. Now, obviously, if it's a lifelong friend or relative, you got to deal with that. But I'm just telling you, if you lend too much money to coworkers, like a large amount, it may end badly. Let's say you have a buddy, you see him drinking every night, and he asks you for, like, let's say $500. And you got to think to yourself, is this guy going to change his habits and pay me back? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. All I'm saying is be smart. All right. Use your better judgment. The other thing I'm going to tell you, a lot of guys buy really nice work trucks, and that's great if it's practical. Okay. But if you buy a fancy work truck and something falls on it, hits it, breaks it, someone backs into it, it really hurts because you're attached to that truck for more than just a work truck. Most of us care about our trucks above and beyond anyway. But listen, it really hurts. Trust me. I know. You buy the truck you love. And it's fancy, you know, it's nice, gets backed into, guy backs into it. I've had a guy back into my truck and rip it completely apart because it's a long story. But I've had, you know, I've had ice fall on my trucks. You know, I was at a tower with the ice and just warm air came through and it just destroyed my truck. Didn't destroy it. I could still drive it home. It's just, it took a week of body work. Things like that happen. And if you're buying something you're really attached to, it's going to be a problem if something like that happens because, man, it just breaks your heart. I just want to warn you guys for that. If you're buying your personal truck and it's what you want, I don't have a problem with that. Well, I don't have a problem with it. You're buying a fancy work truck either. But I'm just saying, when you buy a work truck and something like that happens, man, does it hurt. So next, spend your per diem wisely. If you spend more than you get, you might want to think about it. Now, with that said, sometimes companies cheat you on per diem. There is a website, and I should probably put it in here. There is a website for per diem rates in the U.S. Maybe I'll do that. I'll throw that in here. I'll put something about the per diem. And it's just something that would be worth your while to spend less than you get for per diem. So if you get per diem and you're blowing it all the time, think about how you're blowing it. Are you blowing it in food? If you're blowing it in food, maybe they're just not giving you enough per diem. If you're blowing it on food and say a six, not a six pack, let's say you're drinking 7 or 8 beers in a bar, that's one thing. What a lot of guys would do, and I've done this too, you know, we would buy a six pack or two at the beginning of the week and just, and if we had a fridge, obviously, and then we would, you know, just make that last all week. That way you can sit at your hotel, you're not driving, sitting at your room, having a few beers with buddies. So that's another way you could save money if you've got to have that beer at night, which I got to admit, I do like having a beer at night. So, but not driving, sitting with your buddies, just having a beer. And it's cheaper, usually buying it by the 6-pack or the 12-pack. And that's what my friends used to do. Monday, you know, you buy a 12-pack, you got 4 of you. You have a beer or 2 a night and you're fine. Anyway, I want you to give you a wake-up call here. If you're working for somebody, your boss may care for you, the foreman, the crew chief, your fellow workmates, but the company cares about the bottom line. And the reality is the company is going to worry more about the company than they're going to worry about you. And if things go bad, they're going to lay you off. You know, they'll tell you to be loyal. They might make you sign a non-compete. I've signed a lot of non-competes in my time. And they want you to be spread how great the company is. Are they going to be loyal to you? Maybe, maybe not. I hope they are. It'd be great if they are. It'd be great if you worked there and they kept you forever. But the reality is most companies, if they're hurting, they're going to lay people off. If they're going to lay people off and you're on the list to be laid off, they're going to lay you off. Maybe you've done something great. Maybe you're going to do something that really makes them shine. But I'm telling you, fellas, that's one of the reasons to save money to help you through those tough spots. And sometimes you get caught in a rough spot. you just buy a house and then something bad happens. What are you going to do? You're just screwed. You know, it's really tough to get through something like that. Maybe you just got a divorce, you know, and then you get laid off and you have child support. It's tough. It's not fair. It sucks. But all I'm saying is if you can stash money away for those tough spots, maybe you'll be doing better in the long run. Or maybe you'll have something to carry you through, but it's just something to think about. Maybe you work for a company for 20 years, you know they're going to take care of you. That would be great. God bless you, because that's a good thing. So the next thing is if you pay child support, it is a priority. Always pay your child support. If you don't pay, chances are your ex-wife is going to come after you or your ex-husband, whatever the circumstances are. But make that a priority. If you don't pay and then they have it taken from your paycheck, which I knew a lot of guys, I never had that happen, but I knew a lot of guys that had that happen. So when you get a new job, you have to explain, well, you know, I pay child support, they take it from my check and blah, blah, blah. So if they take it out of your check direct, when you look for a new job, it's one more thing to explain to HR, hey, I pay child support and they take the money out, blah, blah, blah. So it's one more thing you have to deal with. So if you can, you pay your child support, you make it a priority. If they take it out of your check, if you set it up that way, that's fine. You know, that way you never see it. And I knew a lot of guys that did that just because they didn't want to write, you know, a personal check every month. That's fine. But let's face it. I mean, if they start taking the money out because you didn't pay, it's a bad road to go down, fellas. So that's going to be a priority. And the last thing I have here is take care of yourself. You know, be safe in a job, be healthy off the site. Think about the big picture. You know, I mean, if you're healthy, it's less medical bills. Now, things happen. You're in a job that's high risk. You get hurt. You could hurt your back. A lot of guys hurt their backs. You know, that's something that's hard to understand. So if something like that happens, that's why I want you to save some money. Just be prepared to get you through those times. If you're laid off work, I don't know what your company's disability policy is. You know, there is workman's comp, but I'll tell you what, it's not as nice as a paycheck. I'll tell you that. So if you can live somewhere for about half your pay when you're on workman's comp or on unemployment or whatever, you know, maybe that'll help. But I just think you people should think about having a stash to get you through those tough times, you know, maybe to pay the rent, to pay the bills. Because when you're in workman's comp and you don't have any money in the bank, it's going to be really tough to survive, okay? I don't want anyone to get hurt. I'm just saying these are all potential problems. All depends where you work. Some places, you know, they'll take care of you when you're hurt, when you're laid off. Not laid off. When you're hurt and you're laid up at home, they'll take care of you. They'll do things for you. They'll give you extra pay. But there are other companies, buy the book, you're hurt, workman's comp, see you. Stay home till you're better. If you break a bone, you know, what is that, 4 to 8 weeks? A bad sprain, a dislocated knee, any of these things can happen. There's poor guys out in Oklahoma, or where was that, Illinois? I don't know where it was, but those poor guys that just recently got hurt. You know, they're going to be laid up for a little while. If you think it can't happen to you, think again, because unfortunately these things happen. If you think it can happen to you, hopefully you're being safe, you're being smart, and you're paying attention to what you're doing, and the chances of it happening to you will go way down. So, all right, everybody, that's it for this week. I don't know how many of you listened to the end, but I was just trying to help. A lot of you guys will just get angry, but I just want you to have some money to get you through the bad patches in life. I want you to have money so you can enjoy the good times. I want you to have money so in the long run, you have something that you can be proud of, something that you can share, and you won't be in this business for 10 years and just have nothing to show for it. It's tough in this business. It's tough enough as it is. It's a physical job. It takes a lot of brains, and it's something that will test you time and time again. But you know what? For the guys that love it, for the love climbing or any wireless business, any wireless job in this business, and wireless is huge. You know, I often talk about the tower side of the work because to me that's one of the harder jobs that is the least respected in the industry. And I know guys will say, oh, I respect you guys. And they always say that right until it comes time to, you know, for the pay, the paycheck or the schedule or things like that. Then suddenly, you know, you're hammered upon. You know, you got that push to get done. You got that push to do it for less. We want more for less, more for less, more for less. And that's getting to be the way it is in the industry. So the best, and you know what? The very people that want you to do more for less, they're the ones that'll ramp up the work and then cut it off. Ramp up the work and then cut it off. Because in the end, the company cares about the company. Not fair. I'm not saying it's the best thing for the world, but that's reality. And you don't just blame the company. They don't want to go bankrupt. I get it. You know, they want to hire more people. They want to stay in business and so on. But tell you what, a lot of these companies will take care of you, but a lot of them won't. So I just want to prepare you for the best and the worst. All right, everyone, be safe, be smart, pay attention to what you're doing, okay? If you get a chance, obviously give to Hubble. I always say something for the Hubble Foundation. Nate's starting its, Tower Family Foundation, and it's going to launch September 10th, which this is, you know, it's less than a week from when I'm recording this now. And if you go to the very bottom of my blog, I have whistleblower information. So if you feel your company's doing something that's not kosher, there you go. There's your out. You can always get on, read about whistleblower. It's OSHA, and see what happens. It's worth a shot. I'm just throwing it out there, fellas and ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, throwing it out there for all of you. Because you got to care about your workmates, right? You got to care about yourself because if you don't care about each other, no one else is going to care for you. All right? Be safe, be smart, pay attention, take care of yourselves. Be safe all this week. A lot of things going on. Be safe. See ya.